Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Ty Jones, host of The Voice of the People, and this is Ty Jones, The Voice. We have with us phenomenal, the legendary Mickey Howard, who has redefined herself as one of the, I actually adore this woman, and she's redefined herself again and again by going back to her roots of her Southern Soul Blues with Chicago South 7 for her new single, Fed Up, with mega hits such as Love Under New Management, that was one of my favorites, and Come Share My Love. She has been a trailblazer for women dealing with love and domestic violence, but being strong to overcome and to rise to the top. We have the phenomenal woman herself, Miss Mickey Howard. Thank you for gracing me with your presence today.
Well, hello, darling. It's good to hear you.
It is so wonderful. Do you know I am so in love with you? I have been listening to you, Mickey, for years and years and years. I actually worked for Foxy 107 104 in Raleigh, North Carolina. And when I worked there, it was for an urban AC station. So songs like Love Under New Management and, you know, the songs that you Come Share My Love, those were songs that I grew up listening to and so admire you for your strength. Thank you for coming on the show today. I want to hear about what's going on with you. What's up? You got a new single, Fed Up. Tell the listeners, I want to hear what's going on with my girl, this songstress.
Well, girl, honey, first of all, I am having a ball being a grandmother, and
okay.
I have a new single. It's entitled Fed Up, and it's available
yes.
on all of the internet sites or whatever you call it, the Spotify's and whatever. And it's to tell anybody that's going through something and they're tired of it, just get fed up and let it go. And keep on moving. And I'll be also performing this weekend, Friday and Saturday, at the Catalina's Bar and Grill Jazz Club on Hollywood or Sunset Boulevard.
Yes. So for those that are listening, Mickey Howard is going to be performing August 23rd and the 24th at Catalina Jazz Club. It's 6725 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. So if you guys are in the L.A. area and you're in Hollywood, you need to check my girl out. I was listening to the track Fed Up, and it's on fire. I love the new
Thank
sound.
You.
This is a different sound for Miss Mickey to me. So what was the motivation? You're going back to your roots, am I right? Like, this is something different.
Oh, yeah. And then, Mavis Staples is my godmother, so I just reached in and pulled
Ooh.
Some Mavis out. And I had been on the road quite a bit, you know. So the voice was just really perfect for that kind of song, and it was just cool. So I was like, I just want to write something for the ladies so I can quit telling my girlfriends when they call me and talk about their husbands or something, when they don't like them, I can stop having to be the one to tell them it's time to be done. I can just play the record.
Hey, girl, you preach it to the choir, because I'm going to tell you something. You said something profound to me, Mickey, and I'll never forget it. That's how I fell in love with your stance, and I didn't even realize that you were a big advocate for domestic violence, and you yourself have been through many turbulent storms. And I actually want to say that I loved the movie portrayal of you on TV One. Did you have your hands
you.
In that story? I love your story.
Oh, yes. I'm one of the producers.
I love the actress that played you. Okay.
Tiana Paris. She's fabulous.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. Now, did you have your hands in it? Did you have say on the storyline? Did you have, you know, were you active with what was said about you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yes.
So it was really, really cool. And trying to put a whole life in the 90 minutes was weird, but it was cool, though. You got
so
the gist
I,
of
you
it.
Know what is so crazy? You know what's so interesting? All of those songs that you did with Gerald, I never – plus, you know, I was younger back then. I was a teenager I was like 15, 16, 17 listening to you, Regina Bell. You know, you were the ladies – in that R&B era that were just phenomenal back then. You were taking the world by storm when you came out. So the duets that you were doing with Gerald, when you and Gerald, God bless Gerald, when you two were doing these songs, you also were in a relationship with each other?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's my heart. I love me some Gerald. Yeah, we were always in and out of relationship, and we were very, very good friends. As you get older, you understand the relationship better. We were mostly very, very good friends. I would consider him, like people say, they have a work husband or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
And the music that you did, the two of you guys, the energy between the two of you, Where Do We Go From Here and other songs such as that, they were just songs like that, Mickey, come on, give it to me straight. You don't hear songs like that anymore. Songs like
No, I mean, world is in a different... It's a different climate now. The kids are talking about money. They want to get money and have houses and drive Ferraris and what have you. And if they happen to, you know, men have changed a lot. You know, they were still, different. They were different in those days. Men are different now. And so are the young ladies. The young ladies don't want to have children. They're not prone to, you know, talk about and sing about love the way we did. And it's more of a sign of weakness to them now. And they want to have money. That's what they want. their love is not high on their spectrum, especially when, you know, the young people have seen so many of their parents break up, abused, never had parents in the home. And on drugs and things like that. And they're not inclined to want to be in a relationship. And they certainly don't want to think about it.
And I have to agree with that because, come on, look at, we're living in an era now. I'm 45 years old. I mean, some people say you're still a young buck. But I have a cousin and other women in her age bracket that are grandmothers. You know, grandmothers are now 45, 46. 35.
Well, that's
like,
always in our community. You know, in the Black community, grandmothers start at 39, 36. You know, I was fortunate none of my kids had any children until they were 21. But, you know, that's always been in our community with that. But I'm telling you, we're having considerably less births in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I think in everyone, everybody is kind of, you know, down on the love and relationship things because they don't work out like they want them to yet. And, you know, they have it on TV, all the fighting and everything, and it's not worth it.
And I agree with you. Rather than focus on the negative energy, you seem to just turn your lemons into lemonade. And you become this powerhouse of an advocate for domestic violence. Can you tell some of the listeners, what was the motivation behind becoming a voice for women?
I didn't really believe and understand that men, you know, really abuse women the way they do. I was not raised in that environment. I was raised mostly in a gay environment, and the women were powerful and strong and never, ever... had I ever seen anything like that. And I got married and my husband was an abusive person. And, you know, he hit me a couple times and I, you know, fight him back. And actually I was pregnant the first time and I moved out and then went to the hospital and, you know, stayed away for a while. And then he moved in my house while I was gone. And it was crazy. And it was so horrible. It really changed the course of my life. And then I got to see and understand women that go through abusive relationships and how very difficult it is to leave and how much more likely you are to be killed trying to leave a relationship. And that's when most of the murders happen, when they're trying to leave. So you got to be very careful and very clever when you're trying to leave an abusive relationship. But that is what inspired me because I had no knowledge of anything like that going on.
Yeah, because when I was watching the movie, you seemed like a courageous, fighter. Like, you come from a background where your parents were gospel singers, am I right?
Yes.
So growing up in the church and having a mother that was on the pulpit and in the church and on the exterior being a loving mother, but behind the scenes going through the abuse and being homeless as a teenager, how was that for you, Mickey? How can you describe
that was like pretty, a lot of kids get kicked out in their teens. Now that's another subject, you know, being a teenager on the street, you know, a lot of kids get kicked out. You're not living by my rules. You're not going to stay in this house. And it happens, you know, a lot. I don't say, I hate to say that my mother was abusive. I think that we hurt people. And that we just do what we were taught. You know, I believe that she was mistreated, probably, most probably, as you know, growing up as descendants of slaves, you know, on that side of my family, the women were descendants of slaves. And that's what they were taught, to beat your kid, put them out, you know, tough love, so we call it today. But it was very, very hard. But I have to go.
Okay.
I have to go.
Okay.
My flight.
You're headed on a flight.
It was storming. It was storming in Chicago. Wasn't able to leave. So I had to change my flight to today. That's why I thought I was going to be in LA already.
Okay.
And able to, you know, really spend more time with you. And I didn't want to cancel. So please forgive me.
Oh, no, I appreciate you coming in, and we're going to have to do this again because you're such a powerhouse and a soulful singer, and I want to take my time to nurture this interview. So next time around, girl, we're going to do this again, and we'll do it even more intimate. But I just want to thank you for gracing me with your presence, and I'm looking forward to hearing more music from you. So everybody, you check my girl out. She's going to be in Hollywood, California, the 23rd and the 24th. My sister will be performing at the Catalina Jazz Club, 6725 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. Thank you, Ms. Howard, for being a guest on Ty Jones, The Voice. I really appreciate you.
It was absolutely my pleasure. I look forward to talking to you again.
I look forward to. And you have a safe flight, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, and you take care tonight. That was multi-platinum recording artist Mickey Howard. She graces the studio with us, and she's going to be performing. I want you guys to listen out for her single, Fed Up. And if you're in Hollywood, California, be sure to check her out. She's going to be at the Catalina Jazz Club, 6725 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. Now, Ms. Howard is someone that I actually admire. If you have not heard about it, Mickey Howard's biopic details struggles and success of her singer's stardom with something that is very inspiring. And Mickey Howard's voice and musical influences endured during this test of time, okay? For proof, just tune in to the TV1 made-for-television movie Love Under New Management. It's the Mickey Howard story. And it premiered back in June of 2016. It came out. And so pretty much, if you didn't know what was going on, okay, it was a time where this young woman, okay, was going through hell and back, and you would never know. In no time, you will find yourself singing and humming some of Howard's biggest hits, including Come Share My Love and Love Under New Management. Now, the actress is Tanoia Paris. She played in Mad Men and Survivor's Remorse. She plays and portrays Howard. She starred as Howard, and first as a teenager, and she's the daughter of a gospel star, Josephine Howard, played by Vanessa Bell Calloway. And later as a singer trying to desperately carve out a career. Her personal and professional highs include topping the charts, starting a family, and starting a marriage, and even dating her occasional duet partner, Gerald LaVert. Darius McCray stars as Gerald LaVert. You remember Darius. He played in Family Matters with Urkel. So he plays Gerald LaVert, okay? But Howard also faced lots of adversity, struggling with domestic abuse from her husband, sexism with the industry, and eventually a dangerous drug habit. But thanks to a top-notch rehabilitation program and the love of family and friends, Howard, now 55 years old, is preserved. She's looking phenomenal and amazing, and you know, her new single Fed Up is something that is just taking the world by storm. She's going back to her roots with her soulful sound, and you definitely need to check her out. She is a woman that is a powerhouse and someone that you should definitely listen up to. So I also want to talk about this situation that's going on with Jay-Z, okay? So why does Jay-Z have to ask Colin Kaepernick for permission for anything? That's what some of the world is asking. So when Jay-Z get, you know, Jay-Z, who we all know is Sean Carter, entered a partnership with the NFL, okay? And this is to enhance the NFL's live game experiences and to amplify the league's social justice efforts. He became a target of some harsh and hypocritical attacks from allies of former NFL quarterbacks and current activist Colin Kaepernick, who were upset that the rapper and businessman did not consult with them on the deal. There was Eric Reed, the Carolina Panthers defensive back, who began taking a knee during the national anthem when Colin Kaepernick did, and he has continued the process ever since. Reed calls this display that Jay-Z is doing despicable, okay? That Jay-Z would partner with the league after claiming to support Kaepernick. This is the same Eric Reed who has continued taking multi-million dollar paychecks from the NFL teams, though. In the years since Kaepernick was allegedly blackballed for the same protest that Reed and other active players continued today with no consequences. So the same Eric Reed, along with Kaepernick, accepted a $10 million settlement deal from the NFL with an agreement to drop the grievances, claiming that NFL owners colluded to ban Kaepernick for kneeling. So as for Kaepernick, he hasn't spoken publicly. I haven't heard anything from him. I haven't heard anything. He hasn't spoken publicly about any of this for himself, and he has rarely been saying anything publicly. But his girlfriend and his lawyer have served as his surrogates, relaying his displeasures with Jay-Z to the media. His girlfriend, Nessa Diab, said it was disgusting and disappointing that Jay-Z would allow the NFL to use him to help bury Kaepernick. Okay, his lawyer Mark Giragos called the deal cold-blooded and said it crossed the intellectual picket line. Okay, Reed accused Jay-Z of making a money move to bury Kaepernick. So what did he call it when he and Kaepernick accepted millions to stop fighting the NFL and its team owners in the attempt to get him back in the league? Isn't that a money move? I don't know. What would you say about that? Speaking of money moves, Kaepernick has made a few himself since he allegedly when his undesired retirement began, he signed a $1 million book deal, okay, and signed an endorsement deal with Nike on par with what a star NFL player would get, a deal more lucrative than anything he earned from Nike while playing football. Not to mention, there are reports and rumors that Kaepernick had opportunities to sign with the NFL teams over the last few years, but either he wanted more money than he was being offered, or he wanted to start but was being offered only backup roles. So we don't know that when the XFL and the Alliance of American Football inquired about Kaepernick's interest in the minor pro leagues, he asked for $20 million. Those leagues pay six-figure salaries max, okay? All of the Kaepernick allies described the fact that Kaepernick wasn't consulting before the Jay-Z NFL deal was done, but what exactly puts Kaepernick in such a lofty position as to be the gatekeeper of who can participate in social justice? Why would someone like Jay-Z need permission from Kaepernick to work with the NFL? This is not new for Kaepernick's crew, okay? Reed was part of the Players Coalition, a group founded in 2017 to advocate for social justice and racial equality. The coalition was negotiating with the league over how to move past national anthem protests and towards agreeable and meaningful community impact. As the coalition neared a deal to dedicate $90 million to combat social inequality, Reed split from the group over the fact that Kaepernick's employment status was not given top priority. In the negotiations, Josh Norman, one of the players in the coalition, said Reed's presence in the coalition was toxic and creating so much chaos. In fact, Reed's actions at one point threatened the deal with the NFL. What's more important to Kaepernick and his supporters? His personal feud with the NFL, which again, he agreed to drop in exchange for millions of dollars, okay? Or tangible investment in social justice causes? How many millions of dollars that could be used to change lives is worth for them to hold out for Kaepernick to play football again? And as Jay-Z himself asked in defending the deal, we will get stuck on Colin not having a job. Why are people getting stuck on that part? It's important to remember that celebrity social injustice warriors are not just benevolent givers who have no self-interest or ulterior motives. Kaepernick and Jay-Z have done a lot of good for the communities. Indeed, they have, and will likely continue to do so. I believe that. But they also won't hesitate to cash a check when the opportunity arises. Keep that in mind. There's no doubt that Jay-Z and his company, Roc Nation, stand to profit from this deal. And while Kaepernick isn't earning an NFL paycheck anymore, there's no doubt that he's found ways to profit from his own social justice endeavors. And that's okay. Profit is not evil. I don't think so. We all need to pay our bills. We all have to take care of ourselves. That's a part of the American way. That's what makes the virtual signaling from Kaepernick's people so bizarre. Everyone involved in this has NFL money in their bank account. How can it be right to play for the NFL and the right to accept a hush money settlement over the alleged blackballing of Kaepernick, but wrong to do business with the league? Business that could also benefit others. Keep that in mind, okay? Kaepernick doesn't have to come to anyone for how he does his business and how he advances social justice causes or how he protests, nor does Reed. And Kaepernick made it clear that he will do no such thing. So the last thing Jay-Z or the player coalition or any else that's obligated to do is to call Kaepernick for permission to do some good of their own? I wonder about that. You know, those are things that are crossing my mind. And I'm pretty sure currently those are things that are going on in America today. And we're thinking about those things. And we need to continue to think about things such as that, because obviously those at hand were also receiving their compensation for what they're gaining. Everyone was getting a check, it seems, from the NFL. So I'm still going to allow this story to unfold and see what goes on. I'm not going to give any type of biased opinions in regards to Kaepernick or in regards to Jay-Z. I want to see where it's going to go. I want to see how far this is going to continue. And let's see if room for progress is going to occur. Okay? Let's see where we go with this type of progression. Is it progression or is it taking us backwards? I think it's progress. I really do. You know, we're living in an administration currently where everything under the sun is going on in this world, and you need to continuously hold on to what's near and dear to you in your home currently. Now, I was looking at something on social media yesterday, and I'm highly disappointed in NYPD. Big up to Cardi B, okay? Cardi B blasts the NYPD. She told them, suck a fart and suffocate, because of another back-to-school event that got canceled. So more bad news for Cardi. Another back-to-school giveaway planned for that happened. That was actually yesterday, I believe. Okay, this was yesterday. So Cardi, she actually went on live to talk about it. The Bronx has been canceled, she says to the NYPD. Call it off due to the safety concerns. But she started claiming that they hadn't been any issues. There wasn't any issues about the event, okay? Cardi chose her words about this cancellation a bit more carefully than she did this morning. But it's clear to say she's agitated and disappointed and offers an apology to the hybrid school missing out on the free school supplies. She announced the giveaway a few days ago with a new postponed Brooklyn school event. So the NYPD, okay, the New York City Department of Education, they were weighing on the controversy and clarified what actually happened and why. A rep from the NYC DOE, Miranda Barbot, told TMZ that even Cardi was ranting about what she was ranting about, that it wasn't canceled, but merely postponed for security reasons. So I think Cardi may have jumped the gun because, from what it sounds like, they more so just postponed it for security reasons. So she tells us this is a misunderstanding and the event will not be canceled. The principal of the Brooklyn Documentary Academy was not previously aware Cardi B was planning to attend her back-to-school event, and she was concerned that there wouldn't be enough security in place, and they were working with NYPD to make sure that the event was a success, and they were not involved in canceling this event that backs the NYPD's understanding of the stitch. So the good news is these kids are going to get their school supplies. So thank God for the kiddies. They are still going to get their school supplies, and there's no harm and there's no foul. NYPD had nothing to do with the shutting down of the back-to-school event, okay? This event is happening on in Brooklyn. And according to law enforcement sources, we were told that the school shut it down and that the cops were never involved. They didn't know about the event until Cardi posted her rant. So we don't know if Cardi's gotten word about that, but I'm pretty sure by now, of course, this is new old news to you guys. She has deleted the IG post about the rant. She has. And Cardi is fuming over the NYPD allegedly shutting down her pals' back-to-school event. And speaking of fumes, she wants New York's finest to choke on hers. The Bronx-born rapper went on a tear Tuesday night, calling out NYPD for what she says was bullying tactics and that effectively torpedoing of the Stars School's giveaway for schools, for kids' back-to-school event, okay? So she claimed that the NYPD got ahead of this charitable event that was scheduled, and then they were just coming in to, as Cardi would say, fuck it up, and the girl came out of pocket, not to mention the fact that she was genuinely out to help the kids in the neighborhood. So thankfully, now that we know, if there's one thing we know about Cardi, that she loves the kids. You know, look at her daughter Culture, such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful baby. So she went out and surprised some of her old neighborhood friends last year, and doesn't stop doing that. You know, she currently is in the middle of fighting charges in her strip club beatdown case. And so we're going to wish Cardi a success on that. Our law enforcement sources tell us that the department was aware of Cardi's gripe and that they were trying to clear up what's been dubbed as a form of miscommunication. So that is my current tidbit for today. I want to thank my guest, Mickey Howard, for stepping into the studio. Don't miss out tonight. Gat Murder will be in the studio, The Brooklyn Way, okay? My boy Gat Murder from The Brooklyn Way web series, he will be in the studio tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. This is your girl, Ty Jones, and I am out. Taking us out of here, Eve, the R&B rock star.
Thought you was hot, right? Yeah. Joke for you, man. Let's go. Everyone, get you.
Russian cops.